Hello, and welcome to another fine episode of the Tombstone Podcast, where we talk about video games, the video game industry, and whatever else we want to talk about. Today, we have a really exciting episode of Doom Eternal. It was just released last month, so if you haven't had time to play it, please go play it and then come back and listen to this episode. Or if you don't care about spoilers and you just want to listen, that's totally fine. But before we get into that, let's do our regular round robin intro, and we'll start with Kevin.
Well, I've been the new Final Fantasy VII Remake came out, and I've been playing quite a lot of that. It's a very mixed experience. It starts off really strong with like the opening mission, and then there's like a good solid like couple of hours of like, what the fuck am I doing? This is really boring. And then it gets right back to like the story. So like the pacing is weird, but only like in the beginning, excluding the first like 30 minutes. And there are a few other like weird things about it that I'm not a huge fan of, but generally speaking, I've been enjoying it a lot. I know that I personally really enjoyed going to the Honey Bee Inn and everything. That was a good time. So like it's a mostly faithful reimagining, but they add a lot of shit. They add a lot. Like I'd say I'm probably like 24 hours in, and I'm still like in the original. It took me, I guess slight spoilers, but it took me 8 hours to get out of Midgar, and I'm at 24 hours in, and I still haven't gotten that far. So a lot slower.
Yeah. What you mentioned a few days ago, I think, is that they just added a lot of fluff to it, which this is a game that doesn't really need fluff, because it's already around a 40, 60, 80 hour game, depending on your play style.
This specifically needs a bit of fluff, because this is only the first half. This game only plays up to when you would be leaving Midgar. And that's it. So if they didn't add anything, this would be an 8 hour game and you'd be done. But that's not
the first half of Final Fantasy VII, though. It's the first half of like the first half of the first act.
Yeah, cool. It's actually like pretty much just like the intro to the game.
Yeah.
But basically, like what it does is there's optional side missions, which most of the time it doesn't matter. It doesn't influence my opinion of the art. But as I got further, there were just like extra main story missions that add context to characters, to situations. And it comes with some good and it comes with some bad. I would say that the original tells a better story, but I guess if you are resistant to going back to PlayStation 1 graphics, it's a worthy enough successor. There are some parts that it actually does better, but there are a lot of parts that it does worse. So I don't know. I feel pretty mixed about it, but I am at least enjoying it.
Zach, what you got for us?
I've just been playing both Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy XIV, just kind of mixing my time between the two. I never really played the original Final Fantasy VII too much, so I'm kind of just going into this blind, and I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, it's honestly probably better to go into it blind, because like a lot of times it's like I'll see something and go, oh, that was better in the original, or this actually was better than the original, but like there's a lot of comparisons happening, and it kind of, I wouldn't say it ruins the experience, but it's like it could be better, you know. So going into it as your first exposure, not bad.
Yeah, nostalgia goggles are really something that you always have to think about. Like, how do you It's always hard to go back to games that have been remade because you're always going to compare it to the original, whether it's a good comparison or a bad comparison. And it's hard to kind of go in with a fresh take and say, okay, this is it's a remake or it's a reimagining and it's a new, fresh experience that's taking all the story elements from the original and just kind of changing it up a little bit as far as mechanics, content, etc. You know, it's nostalgia goggles mess a lot of things up, sadly. What have I been doing? Not too much more than playing a lot of Apex Legends, League of Legends, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare. That's basically all I've been doing. Just nothing but FPS games, and League of Legends is basically, that's it, man. I don't have anything else that I've been doing. Nothing that's been on my radar or excited for. So let's just go right into Doom, I guess. So Doom Eternal, this is the sequel to, of course, the Doom 2016, which is a total reimagining of the Doom franchise. It's a refresh. It's kind of just like hit the restart button and take all the feeling of being a badass killing a bunch of demons and bring it to the modern FPS world. Because if you were to kind of recreate it in the original Doom style, it'd be very boring. And today's climate, video game climate, I don't think it would stand up at all. But this new rip and tear and always pushing forward style of combat is exhilarating. It's fun. There's really not many other games that are like that out there. It kind of reminds me of God of War style of fighting where you're just destroying people because you're this ultimate badass, but you're also destroying things like with certain combos and like with certain skill sets in mind, so that way you don't die, because some of the difficulties in Doom are very, very brutal. Like I played it on the Ultra Violence, which is the one right above normal, I guess, because I think was there's I'm Too Young to Die, Hurt Me Plenty, Ultra Violence, and Nightmare.
Yeah, and then Ultra Nightmare after that,
which is just Nightmare but with one life. So like if you die, it's basically like a roguelike. If you die, you have to start over. Yeah, no, I don't think I'll ever be doing that. Nah. Ultra Violence was hard enough for me. So what do y'all's takes? This is the first time y'all never played Doom 2016 either, right? Because I didn't play that. I just watched speedruns mainly of it.
Yeah, I played. Maybe like 30 to 45 minutes of Doom 2016. So my exposure to that game is pretty limited.
Yeah. I've only really watched the speedruns of it as well, so
I do know a few things about the original that were kind of refactored, and I think most of those changes were for the better. It changed enemies, or it changed the combat to where there's even more of a give and take. So to like get into the mechanics of the game, there's you have health, you have armor, and you have ammo. Those are your three major resources. And glory kills get you health, flamethrower, and then killing the enemy gets you a lot of armor, and then chainsaw gets you a lot of ammo. There's a lot more kind of give and take in that, though. Like, it feels like things do more damage, but it's also quicker to get your, you know, all your resources back in this game, because it's like you almost always have at least one chainsaw charge, and there's a bunch of like random mobs just like walking around, and it's like I actually got to the point where I'd be fighting a big bad and go, all right, I need to find some little bastards off in the corner, chop them up, get some ammo, and then come back to fight the big dude. But it's all like really fast paced and in the same arena. I feel like there's more of a that sort of give and take sort of mechanic going on.
Yeah, because the thing with like the whole replenish your ammo and all that, they don't give you a lot of ammo at all for your guns.
No.
I think you start off with like, was it 16 shotgun shells?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And a lot of the enemies, at least on the harder difficulties, take, you know, like 2 or 3 to kill them. So you're constantly having to jump around the arena that you're fighting in and find more ammo. And then also, yes, use your chainsaw. Chainsaw is probably one of the most used things in my run because I run out of ammo so fast, and it's the best way to get more ammo, and it's one thing that you want to always have one charge on you and always jump around and look for that next can, because you can use your chainsaw if you have 3 charges of your chainsaw, that's the max you can have. You can just insta-kill most enemies, but you really don't want to do that because you want to be able to use your charges to replenish your ammo. And if you use it to just insta-kill an enemy, that's kind of a waste.
Mm-hmm. It's like a real-time, like, on top of running and gunning and jumping and all of that, you also have to just constantly be aware of your resources. And, you know, chainsaw is one of those resources. Now, something that's different between this and the original, one, like you said, there's not a lot of ammo. There's actually a severe reduction in ammo capacity because they want you to be doing that more. But they also made it to where the chainsaw refuels. Like, if you're at 0, it will refill over time, just the first charge. Getting more charges on top of the 1, you have to collect the gas, but it you will almost always have 1 charge. So it's like,
yeah, and the recharge rate for that refillable one isn't too bad. It's like 30 seconds or so, I think, maybe a minute.
Yeah, if you're balanced in all your gun usage, you shouldn't run out of ammo before you can chainsaw someone again. So it's, like I said, it's just this super frantic back and forth motion. And pretty much the thing that's good about it and the thing that makes it really well designed is that no matter what you're short on or what you need, the answer is the same thing. Fucking rip and tear. That's it. You know, you chainsaw a dude in half if you want fucking ammo. You punch a dude's head off to get health. You shoot him with a flamethrower and then, like, blood punch him, and then you get a shitload of armor. Like, no matter
blood
what
punch
it
is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, blood punch is amazing. It's like an AoE melee attack that just destroys most things in one hit.
Oh, yeah. Like, that is a huge game changer. And, like, I can't remember. There are like a few like upgrades that make it like charge faster or charge in certain circumstances, and it's like that move is particularly like really, really helpful, especially if you get the ability to get health from blood punch kills. So you just like, you just get surrounded, you're like, ah, and you just punch and then pick up health and run away.
Yeah, then the because I like to think this almost like an arcade shooter, just because it has a lot of old school health, armor, and ammo pickups, like all throughout wherever you're fighting,
mm-hmm.
And it's just it's almost like Quake, where you just kind of jump around and just shoot your rocket launcher at everything.
Yeah,
it's very fast paced, and you have your double jump, and you also have a dash that your dash resets on touching the floor, and then your double jump resets on almost anything.
Yeah,
like you could even, it resets on
if you like swing or bounce off a wall or anything.
Yeah. So you have a lot of mobility in this game. If you like a fast paced, high mobility game, this is it for you. It's something that's really exciting, and it's something that makes you feel, and does make you feel badass whenever you completely clear a room and you know, you do it in one take and you just totally destroy everything and you come out with like full health and full armor because you used all of your abilities right. It does feel amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it takes, kind of like you said, it takes that old concept, that old feeling of playing one of those older FPS games, but brings it into the modern era. So it has a lot of those like really like old school feeling things, like heaven forbid having a health meter or, you know, things like that, or having more than two guns. You know, it harkens back to original Doom where it's like you have health, you have armor, you have a shitload of weapons, you got limited ammo, and it's just manage your resources, be skilled but be careful, you know. And it takes that concept, that feeling, and adds a lot of shit on top of it. So you get things like the blood punch and the flame belch and the, you know, you get grenades and you get like a bunch of different weapons and like all these abilities. You get the dash, you get the double jump, you get all this shit. And the thing about the game is that it really, really, like in every bit of the design focuses on that same experience of just being really fast, being really skilled, taking out hordes of enemies, and just being a badass.
Yeah, and it gives you a very wide selection, a very wide array of weapons in order to make you feel like this badass. You have the heavy cannon, which is like just your machine gun. You have a shotgun, you have a super shotgun. Crossbow?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
It's the ballista.
Ballista, yeah.
Yeah, ballista, plasma rifle, the BFG makes a return. You get the Unmaker, which is the basically like a different version of the BFG. It gives, and all these weapons also have two different upgrade paths that you can go along. The heavy cannon has the sniper or the mini missiles. The rocket launcher has lock on or airburst. You got just two different things for most of these guns that you can upgrade it. So it really does kind of like your playstyle can be whatever you want your playstyle to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And well, some of these guns are insane with the damage that they can do and just some of the things that you can do with them.
Mm-hmm. I definitely, I enjoy all the guns and the gun feel, but this is starting to edge on the, what I would consider to be one of my complaints about the game. And that would be, just how excessively customizable everything is. It's like, okay, you've got this collectible that upgrades these abilities, and you've got this collectible that upgrades these other abilities, and you've got this third collectible that upgrades this, and then you've got this fourth collectible that upgrades this. And it's like, there are, I think, like five different like skill tree type things. You know, it's like one for your guns, and then one for like the crystal things, and then there's like the Praetorian medals, and then this, and then that, and...
Yeah, so you have Praetor suit points, which upgrades your suit things like your grenades and your dashing and yada yada. So you have something that upgrades that. You have your weapon points that upgrade your weapons. You have Sentinel crystals, which upgrade your health, armor, and ammo capacity. You have Sentinel batteries, which unlocks more things on your in the Doom Hunter Fortress. Or the Fortress of Doom, whatever it is. Yeah, Fortress of Doom, that's what it's called. And then you have... No. You have the Mastery Tokens. Mastery Tokens automatically unlock the Mastery upgrade for your weapon. So, because there's... with each weapon and each of its upgrade paths, there's a special little challenge that you have to do with that upgraded weapon in order to unlock its mastery thing, in order to use that. Yeah, there's a lot of upgrades, a lot of different upgrade paths that you can go along, and a shit ton of collectibles. This game is all about finding secrets. Well, not all about, but it's like a good bit of it is about finding secrets and parkouring your way and thinking outside of the box of how to get to a certain location on the ship, or not on the ship, on the map, to unlock that, whatever that question mark is. Because your map will tell you, you'll find an auto map, and it will tell you, like, where, well, I think you can get an upgrade that'll tell you where everything is on that particular map. And you just have to figure out how to get there. And it's really cool exploration, and it's really fun. There's some tricky puzzle platformer areas that you have to figure out. And because it'll even tease you sometimes where you'll see the thing, you'll see the item, and you just have to be like, okay, how do I get to it? And sometimes you have to get almost all the way through the map, and it'll loop back to the beginning, and then it'll just kind of give you the item, and you're like, oh, come on, that's cheap.
Yeah, like, I would say, like, I'm kind of mixed on the exploration. I like that it's in there, because if the game was just 100% mutilation the whole time, it would be wearing. It would be exhausting. And it already is pretty, like, you know, like, hands are shaking and you're like, you know. But the exploration is a time to kind of wind down and think differently and, you know, mentally recover. And so, you know, I like that it's in there, but there are some times where you see a thing, like you just mentioned, where it's like, oh, there it is, and you think you can get to it now, but you actually can't. And it's like, oh, you got to go further through the mission, and then, you know, it loop back, and then you can get to it. And, you know, knowing the difference between being able to get it and you don't see the solution, and not being able to get it and not knowing that, there's a very subtle difference between those two things. So I occasionally found that frustrating, to the point that I was like, if I can't immediately figure out how to get this secret, I'm just leaving. So I didn't bother with anything that took me more than, you know, like a minute of thought. If it took me a minute, I was just gone.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. It's like you kind of go into this game, you're like, I just want to go around, shoot, and kill demons. And, you know, that's easy enough. But, like, on some of, like, the harder difficulties, like, you really need those upgrade points, and you need that extra health and that extra armor and that extra, mainly, usually that extra ammo is what you really are looking for. On the harder difficulties, it's almost like a requirement in order to get through everything easier is to collect as much as you can. But sometimes, yeah, I would look at something and think, I'm not going to waste my time on this. I'm just going to go somewhere else and do something else.
Yeah, like, like I said, I like the exploration. It's probably good for the pacing, but when it interrupts too much, and again, sometimes you don't know the difference between being able to do it and not being able to do it, that sort of thing kind of messes with you. And I wish that just, like, every time it presented you with something, it was possible to get, you know, so that you know, hey, I see this thing, there is a way to get it right now, not come back in, like, 10 minutes, and now you can get it, you know?
Yeah, because it's not really like a Metroidvania style of a map layout, of like world creation anyways, because it is basically like you have to, the whole map is just get from point A to point B. So it doesn't really necessarily make sense to say, okay, go like halfway to point B and get this upgrade, and then go and then loop back around to go get along this little path to get to this thing. So I can understand. It's like, it doesn't really make sense for some of that backtracking to have to happen, because it's not necessarily like the world is designed in that way, like a Metroid style game is.
Yeah, it's, I would almost say that it's like Dark Souls 3 in that, like, it's very clear the direction you're supposed to be going, but there are some branches and they kind of wind back on themselves, but it's still like mostly linear. And so it's like, it's kind of got that where it's clearly going that way, but it's like, okay, you gotta go around to the left, cross over this bridge, and then like come down and unlock this thing, and now you can get through the main gate and blah 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 blah. You know, it's that kind of level design where it's linear but winding. And then like you'll have like these little sort of arenas. You can definitely tell when an encounter is about to happen because you'll just see this path just fucking open and there's just shit everywhere. And you're like, okay. And like the level design in these arenas is like, it's like a multiplayer map almost. And like, I don't know, I haven't played the multiplayer, but I would imagine some of these arena areas were reused for that, because it's like, it's just like this skinny path and then this circle of just like ramps and poles to swing on, and like you can go under the little bridge and collect some items and like all this shit. And then it's like, all right, you've cleared that area, now get on this little path again, the little skinny path again. So it's not to say that that's like good or bad, but that's just kind of how I felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a singular focused game where it's like kind of go here, here's the end of the level. And that's kind of how every level is laid out. And I think the interesting thing comes from, because sometimes it's just like a, you know, a two level arena, and you have little nooks and crannies that you could run through to kind of like, okay, I need to get away real quick, regroup, come back in, or go and hit this health pack or something like that. And then there's some other levels that are, there's just a lot of varied landscape and architecture that's just kind of in the way, or that you can use as, because you're not really supposed to use cover in this game, but you definitely want to be able to say, okay, I'm going to fight these people right now, but I don't want those other people shooting at me, so I'm just going to kind of hop around this corner, shoot at these people, kill them real quick, and then might chainsaw one of them or glory kill another one and refresh on ammo and health, and then hop around and go kill these other people, just because you don't want everyone shooting you at once. So it's definitely like, yeah, straight path arena, but some of these arenas that they lay out are fun to jump around and fun to manage. Others are very much like just an open field.
Yeah.
And it's just really, I don't know, it's kind of dumb. Like, there could have been a little bit more thought put into some of them. But most of them are fun.
Yeah, I would say most of them are just the right size, and some of them are too big. And I think the line I would draw to say that something is too big is basically, if, like, say you were to jump really high in the air, you should be able to see the entire arena. There's one particular example that I'm thinking of where there's the mission where you go through it and it kind of builds the boss as you go through, and then you fight one of them, and it's like the dude with the shield and he's on the little hover pad and he floats around.
Yeah, the Doom Hunter.
Yeah, that one was fine, but almost immediately after that you go to another arena with two of them and a bunch of other dudes, and that arena is way too fucking big, because it's like, I would be running around like, where is even my enemy? Like, I would just be in an area of the map where just no one is, and I'm like, where the fuck is everybody? You know? So I would say a few were too big like that. And most of them were just the right size. Like I said, if you can see the entire arena, it's probably the right size.
I agree with that. And let's take a minute or two to stop for ads, and we will come back and just, I guess, discuss whatever else we're going to talk about with this game. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, and we're going to continue our discussion of the Doom Eternal video game. It's a fun game, and I think some of the fun things is the versatility of enemies that you have to face. There's a like classes of enemies that you have to face, because then there's also almost like upgrade versions. There's the they're the big guys that just kind of charge after you and jump and slam on the ground. Because then there's them, and then there's like a mech version, and then there's like a big like infernal fiery demon version as well. And I forget what they're called, but yeah, they like all three of them act the same. I think they have the same AI and the basically the same move set, but they just are like, oh, here's a more difficult, more tanky, more does more damage to you versions. There's like the regular flesh boys, then there's the cyborg ones, and then there's the infernal hell demon things. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of repeat enemies, but not too much. You have basically your ammo drops as the like zombies and the soldiers. They're basically there as fodder and don't really do too much. You have your imps that just jump around and are just annoying as shit most of the time.
Yep. And then you've got like the gargoyles, which are the same thing but can fly.
Ah, yeah. Fuck those. Those are really annoying. I think my least favorite enemy are the snake boys.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most people would agree, just because they're really skinny, they're really quick, and they're weirdly tanky for how quick they are, you know? So they're like a weird balance of just like really annoying to kill. And of course they're technically a bigger enemy, so you can't just chainsaw them in half. And I don't know. For me, it was just immediately pull out the super shotgun and just blast away. Just hope that they just go away fast.
Yeah, either that or just bust out the rocket launcher and just destroy them.
Get rid of them.
I like the first time I ran into them, I was just like, oh, hello, oh, what are you? Oh, shit, what are you? And it just like moved and just like slice and dice me, and I was like, okay, well, that's something, I guess. I'll have to be a little bit more careful of that. The easier ones are like the caca demon. Like,
oh yeah.
You just pop a grenade in its mouth and you just kill it. Like those are the easiest enemy, bigger enemies.
Yeah, I feel like that was to me kind of a weird design choice, particularly with the caca demon, because with I don't believe this was in Doom 2016, but there are now vulnerability points where you can hit them and it'll do a lot of damage and usually disable them somehow. And most of the time, it's done pretty well, like with the arachnoids or whatever, the little like
arachnotrons.
Yeah, the little like
brain, spider boys that have
the brain turret guys, and then there's the big boys with the two guns on either side, and it's like you can shoot off their guns or whatever. Like that works because it's like you have to be quick and skilled and like do a nice little perfect shot on them to disable them. That's cool. With the caca demons, it's just literally, they're coming at me, just throw a grenade at them, then glory kill. They're just like a non-issue, because it's just, it's kind of a solved problem. This is definitively the best way to take them out. So I just
You don't even have to wait for them to attack a certain way. You just literally shoot it at them, and they'll just eat it.
Yep.
No matter what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's intended, because I know like reading the whenever you first encounter them and it like pops up like this is a caca demon and this is how you, which that's one thing I'll get into soon, but it tells you, you know, wait for them to attack you, wait for them to, for like when their mouths are open, and then shoot a grenade or throw a grenade in their mouth, but you can just do it at any time. It doesn't really matter. I don't think that was intended that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it might be one of those cases where they intended it to be that and wrote that like little tutorial thing, and then they're like, oh, this is kind of annoying. It's kind of hard for the player to tell if the mouth is open, blah, blah, blah. So let's just make it all the time, but then didn't change the text. So I don't know. I feel like it might be a situation like that where they just, they had that idea and said, let's just make it all the time.
So what other enemies? Oh, one of the things that happens is that your boss enemies just become like regular enemies.
Yeah.
Kind of like, so you have the Doom Hunters that you go to Doom Hunter base and you, like Kevin said earlier, you fight one and then you have to go and fight two immediately after. Those just become like regular enemies down the line. What else does? The Marauders. Marauders were ex-Doom Hunters. Oh, no, ex... no. Sentinels? Yeah. They were Sentinels, and they, I guess, betrayed and started working for Hell or whatever. And you fight one as a boss, and, like, the first time you fight him, it's like, oh, shit, this boy is he's rough. He's hard to kill. And then they just start sending them your way.
Yeah.
As just regular enemies, and it's just really, oh, geez.
Yeah, toward the end, it just, like, you just start getting them. It'd be, like, every few rooms, especially in, like, the last level. It's, like, every, like, few encounters, it's like, boom, there's another one. You're like, are you fucking kidding me? And it just gets, like, exhausting.
Is there another one that's like that? Because I know there's the Doom Hunters and then there's the Marauders. Because then you have the, the Gladiator, but he doesn't become a, he's just a boss boy.
He just is a boss, yeah. I feel like they must have just been like, he takes up too big of an arena. I think he only worked in a flat arena, which is, you know, the Gladiator arena is flat, so it works there, but I don't think they could put him anywhere else because he just didn't work anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't, because, yeah, I mean, he has two phases, and I think he was just made purely as a boss, and like that's pretty much all he was ever going to be. I think one of my favorite enemies is whenever you get to Erdek, and you have the boys that you could just pop their heads off, and they just like explode into, it's like a pinata, they just explode into health and ammo and stuff like that. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I
will think those
say,
are my favorite.
I will say, you know, I started out playing this game because I've never really done keyboard and mouse. I'm not particularly good at keyboard and mouse. So the first time I played through, it was on controller. And they're a huge pain in the ass when you're on controller because you're less precise. But going through a second time, now with keyboard and mouse, because I'm just like forcing myself to learn keyboard and mouse, holy shit, they're so much easier. It's like so much more satisfying. And you'll just pull out your rifle, use the scope, and just pop their head off. Just quickly spin it, pop their head, and then run away. It, like, this game begs to be played on keyboard and mouse. Like, the difference is enormous.
Yeah, I don't know if I could play it on controller. I can't really play many FPSs on controller anymore. It's just too much of a hassle to kind of go back and like you said, it's not as precise, but they do in a lot of games give you aim assist, and I think they give you aim assist in Doom, right?
They give you aim assist only on controller, but yes.
Yeah. That's most games is like only controller gives you aim assist. But even then it's just clunky. I just don't think I can go back and learn games that I'm already playing with mouse and keyboard as that.
Yeah, it's just me. I'm just I'm late to the game because I never really played FPSs that much, and I also never really played on PC that much. So it's like once I got my PC, I was playing stuff like Dark Souls that is better on controller, and then I was like, all right, now I just have to sit down and force myself to use keyboard and mouse. And this game definitely benefits from it because you just, with other games, with other FPSs and stuff, it's like you have to hide behind cover, pop out, shoot, and pop back in. And so you can manage that with a controller because it's not so frantic. In this game, you're like, you're running and you just got to turn 90 degrees, shoot that dude, turn back 90 degrees, keep going forward, jump, spin totally around, throw a grenade, spin back around. It's like you just have to switch your viewpoint and keep your mind around so many things and address so many problems so rapidly that it's like you just have to have that speed and precision that a mouse offers.
So what I was going to mention earlier about the little help pop-ups.
Oh yeah.
I don't necessarily like them.
No.
I don't necessarily like, I wish that they would leave that to explore it. Cause then it just kind of makes all the enemies easy. Cause every time you come up to a new enemy, it'll have a little pop-up and it'll say, okay, this is a mancubus and it has two large cannons on its arms. Well, if you take your sniper rifle and you shoot their arms, their arm cannons, like they pop off and they can no longer shoot you from long range. They can only like get up close to you and do damage. I wish that was something that, like, I wish it was like enemies have weak spots and you have to find them. And that would be much more enjoyable as far as like figuring that out as you're playing rather than just, hey, if you want to kill this person, like, do this.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that in the settings, there's a place to turn those off so that you just would never see them.
Yeah, but I would say that it should probably be off by default. And yeah,
maybe if you're struggling, it should say, hey, do you want a hint on how to...
Yeah.
Because like, it does that with like the Sentinel armor. It's like hey, notice that you're dying a lot on this boss. Do you want to take the Sentinel armor and, you know, it won't hurt progression or anything like that. I wish that they could have done that with all the enemies as well. It's like, hey, would you like a hint?
Yeah. And like, there's a few things. One, I mean, they already have it, but I wish they would just rely more on it. Like you said, it's like, if you're having trouble, then it'll give you the hint. When you die, it pops up a loading screen and it will usually give you hints. So you could learn it from that if you really wanted, you know, like, oh, a fucking, you know, Arachnotron or whatever fucking killed me. And then it loading screen shows you, hey, you can blast off its turret. And you're like, oh, fuck, you know, so that's one
thing.
Or it
doesn't even tell you. It just shows you like a clip of it happening.
Yeah,
and you
it just shows you and you're like,
make
oh,
two
fuck.
And two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the fact that the tutorials just kind of like impede your flow immediately, it just kind of sucks because you'll run and go, oh my god, what is that thing? And then it stops and goes, this is what that thing is. And you're like, well, I didn't
like,
get to
it
have
it. Does that with all the bosses too.
Yeah.
Like, it just tells you how to kill the bosses every single time. The con maker, it's like you start the fight and it's just like, hey, you have to deplete her shield and then go up to her and do a blood punch. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me do that then. Like, and that's the fight. Like, you have to blood punch her like four times, five times, something like that, and she's dead. The Doom Hunter, it's just like, oh hey, it has a shield. So you have to deplete the shield, destroy its floaty part thingy. And then after that, just kill it. It's like, okay, well, I guess that's the fight. And I just wish that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. And in most of the cases, they do a few things to make it at least somewhat obvious. For example, if you're just pelting an enemy with a weak point, and if you shoot nearby the weak point, it'll kind of like flash red. So you're like, oh, that's a weak point, you know? And like, if they like amp that up just like a little bit more, it's like, you wouldn't even need the hint. You would just look at it and go, oh fuck. And then, you know, blast their weak point and that'd be it. So I feel like it could have relied more on that. And also, the example you gave with the final boss where you like, you like knock down the shield and go up and do a blood punch. It's like, that one's actually like such a specific design that like it almost needed that. But I think that just means that they should have went back to the drawing board and, you know, had a different solution.
Yeah. It's not a good boss design if we have to specifically, because yeah, I mean, otherwise you really wouldn't know how to kill her. But that's also not a good design. Like you shouldn't have to. Here's a problem. Here's the solution. Follow that. Like that's not that intriguing of gameplay. And if you have to give the solution because it's such a weird problem, like knock down the shield and blood punch, like who's gonna think of doing that? Everyone's gonna knock down the shield and then just like shoot the fuck out of her.
Yeah, it's like who would think to knock down the shield and then specifically this flying boss enemy, grapple up to it and do a blood punch? It's like, it's in the air. Punching is the last thing I would think to do with it, you know?
Yeah. Or like, I think it would have been cool to, like, if they would have hinted at like the Unmaker becoming like being the thing that can kill her. So like you have to knock down her shield and then shoot her a bunch with the Unmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been cool. And that would have kind of forced you to go back and do those. That would have forced you to go back and do those purple gates. Because you wouldn't be able to beat the game without it. So I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it could just be the BFG.
Or it could just be the BFG. But I just think that fight could have been rethunk about.
Rethunk. Yeah. I would say that. That is a tie for my least favorite boss of the game. And my least favorite boss of the game is the very last one. Like it's between that flying what's her face, the Maker or whatever, and the final boss, whatever,
the Icon of Sin.
Yeah. I was like, the thing with that boss is that it took me like at least an hour of just solid gameplay. And I didn't die. I didn't die a single time to the final boss, but it just took fucking forever. Because like the way it's designed, it's just one, there's two separate arenas. It's like a two phase thing. And you do the same thing in both areas, but it's just got resources everywhere. All the weapons, all the power ups, all the shit you could possibly need. You got crucible charges, you've got, you know, BFG ammo, you've got shit just everywhere, and endlessly respawning enemies. And so it's just running around, clearing out the little peon enemies, taking a couple shots at the big dude, and then clearing out some more enemies, and then taking a couple shots, and then clearing out the enemies. And it's just like, how much you have to spend time clearing out the arena just so you can aim and shoot in peace for like 2 seconds. It drove me fucking insane. I was like physically daunted by the end of that boss fight, because it was just an hour of me sitting there like, please, I just want to fucking end it.
Yeah, and then like on the harder difficulties, it's literally just you're fighting the ads more than you're fighting the boss.
Exactly.
And it's just really annoying. Yeah, I still haven't even gone back to beat it. I've been sitting on it for like 3 or 4 weeks now, and I just haven't gone back to beat the Icon of Sin, just because it's a chore. It's a chore.
Yeah, it's like, it's a suitably like big and spectacular fight, but like you said, you spend all your time killing the little peons and not him. And
yeah,
it's just and the thing is that like fighting him isn't even interesting. You just fucking lay into him. You just keep shooting at certain parts of him, and it's like, oh, that part broke. Oh, that part broke. That part broke. And it, like, because fighting him in and of itself is not interesting. They just threw a bunch of mobs at you. But those aren't interesting either, because they give you so much shit that you can just like cleave them in half over and over with the crucible. So it's just, it just takes time.
It gives you like crucible tokens that respawn, so you can just keep doing it.
Yeah. I literally didn't use ammo on like anything. Like if it was like a little dude, I might like shoot him once or twice, do a glory kill to get some health. But if it was like anything else, I would just cut it in half with the crucible. I would not shoot anything else, because it's like, what's the fucking point? I'm just going to cleave it in half. And it's just an hour of cleave, 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 cleave. All right, now I can shoot the guy like twice. And that one's, honestly, now that I've talked myself through it, I think that is actually my least favorite boss fight.
Yeah, because the con maker one isn't too bad. It's just not that thought out, and it's not that interesting of a fight.
It's like a little annoying, and I died like once or twice on it, just trying to like figure out the flow of it. And then once I figured out like, oh, just do it like this, done. Once you figure out and that's the case with like every enemy, and that's how a lot of enemies come back as bosses, is because once you figure out the flow of them, they're not a big deal, you know.
No.
So like the Doom Hunter or whatever, you just kind of, you're like, oh, shoot him with the plasma thing, it knocks his shield off, and then you can hit him with something really big and it'll blast him off his little platform, and then you just pull out the chain gun and like fucking eviscerate him with fucking bullets, you know. It's like that done, you know. Every enemy has, at least in my opinion, a single best way to handle them, which,
except for archviles, fuck archviles.
Which ones are those? Those are the big boys who summon.
Yeah,
I hate those.
Those are like the most, because even like the Barons of Hell, like the huge boys, the fucking Goliaths.
Yeah,
like they're like, you just fucking shoot them with the rocket launcher a bunch, or like the BFG, like you shoot them with like the lock on rocket like twice or three times, and then you hit them with the BFG and they're dead. But like the Archviles,
yep,
they're just, God.
Yeah, and they just kind of show up, and it's just like, oh fuck.
Yeah, so one more thing that I want to talk about is the music in this game. Of course, music is chef's kiss. Mm. It's amazing. It makes you feel like a badass, and I know that for a good bit of people, it's the main reason why they play Doom is for the music. It really is amazing. And if you don't know who's created it, it's a guy named Mick Gordon. He's the one who made the music for both Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal. And he has a GDC hour-long little, what is this called?
Talk.
Is it a talk?
Yeah.
Or is it like a presentation? That's what they're called. I haven't fucking, oh man. He has like an hour-long presentation of his process, his thought process, and his creative process of making the music for Doom 2016. I highly recommend go watch it. It's an amazing look into how you can solve a problem given to you, like, because like he's like just given, he's like, here's my, you know, here are the guidelines for the music, and here's where I started, and here's, you know, everything that I've done and how I've changed little by little by little, and this is how we have the music of Doom. And it's just a really interesting process. It's probably one of the most creative musical processes I've seen in a while.
Oh yeah. And like like you said, there's a lot of people who got the game just for the music, and it's just, it's so, it leans so hard into, you know, badass, over the top violence, fucking crazy energy. You just feel super pumped up the entire time that you're fighting something, because it, pretty much every level has like a, it has like kind of a chill version of the song and then like a crazy version of the song. And as soon as enemies pop up, it like fades into the crazy version. And when it's time to chill out, you just kind of, okay, you can gather yourself and chill out. It's kind of that pacing thing I mentioned before, where it's like, you need some moments of quiet so that it's not just 100% action 100% of the time, and you get exhausted. So he did a pretty good job of making like a calm version, where it's just you looking around, looking for secrets, and then just, like, it amps it up, brings in the fucking metal guitar, and it, like, it just gets so fucking over the top, and I love it.
I think my favorite tracks from this game are the ones that have, like, the Hell Choir along with it. Like, those tracks, holy shit, those tracks are so cool.
Yeah, for me, I think my favorite, or at least one of my favorites, is Gladiator. That's the one that, you know, you do in the Gladiator ring. And it's got that, like, kind of hell choir in it. It's, ooh, I love those. I fucking feel that shit.
What I wanted to ask earlier, I think it escaped me, was what's y'all's favorite weapon to use?
Ooh, for me, probably the chain gun. I like the chain gun, and there's the upgrade that has it deploy into, like, a super crazy chain gun.
Yeah.
I think that's my single favorite weapon to use.
Yeah, that's a pretty badass one. It's like very high DPS for that one.
Mm.
What about you, Zach?
Either of the shotguns, really. I mainly use the first shotgun a lot just because of the grenade launcher attachment, and I just spam them. But super shotgun's nice as well.
I think the super shotgun's my favorite just because you can do the meat hook
into the shooting
them, and the meat hook, whenever you get it upgraded, it sets them on fire, and whenever you set things on fire, you get armor from them. So like that's just how I would get a lot of armor, is just like meat hook and then super shotgun to the face.
Yeah, like that becomes like probably your best way of getting a bunch of armor, is just getting that upgrade and just hook, go straight at them, and right as you're in their face, pull the trigger. And it's just like that. I mean, that is a very close second for my favorite, is the super shotgun. Basically, between the super shotgun and the chain gun, it's like that's how I solve most of my problems.
Definitely. Yeah, I think the best way to get armor in that game, you use the cryo grenade into the flame spitter, and then you just blood punch, and
yeah,
and you just like automatically get full armor.
Yeah, you cryo a bunch of dudes, you flame belch all of them, and then you blood punch all of them, and they just explode into pieces and just rain armor on you.
Any other topics that we want to talk about?
Well, just generally, fucking amazing game. Highly recommend it. It's almost certainly my favorite game of the year so far. And it's just a fucking joy through and through. Like the little gripes I had, they're in excessive minority to the fun you can have with the game. So I definitely recommend it at the end of the day. It's still super fun, you know. You know, even immediately after beating it, I went straight back and just started another run, you know, at the next difficulty. And, you know, I'm probably going to beat that and then the next difficulty. And then, you know, probably stop after that because that would be Nightmare.
And we don't want to do Ultra Nightmare. That's a bit too much. Yeah. I'm excited for whatever Doom's coming up next. That's probably not going to be for like another 2 or 3 years, but
probably more.
Yeah. Who knows, 4 or 5 years, but, I'm invested in the story. We didn't really talk at all about the story. But I'm definitely invested in the story. There's some pretty cool, theories popping around that I'm excited to see what happens for them. So Id, you did good. You did good, Id.
It did good. Yeah, and I would say on the story, I feel like totally the opposite. I did not care even remotely about the story, and like they would just say stuff like it was supposed to be significant to me, and I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I do like how Doom guy, the actual character, doesn't seem to give a shit about any of the pomp and circumstance. I do like that.
Yeah, he's just totally like sacrilegious about everything.
He's just like, I do not unceremoniously care. You need to die.
Yeah, it's great. Well, that's it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this exciting episode of the Tombstone Podcast. You can catch us on any streaming platform out there, basically. You can follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, Tombstone_pod or Tombstone_podcast. Find us on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, sorry, and leave us a review there if you enjoy it. Review helps tremendously. And yeah, we'll see you next episode. Farewell.